From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Today, the NFL launches a version of this.
McFadden. He lost the football.
In 360 degrees of virtual reality. That sound from a Cowboys versus Redskins game last season. The two are meeting up today to butt helmets again. And while it won't be full games, some of the NFL's virtual reality content is kicking off this week. CNET editor-in-chief Lindsay Turrentine is here to talk. Hey, Lindsay, why did the NFL choose to partner with Google exclusively for the series that starts today?
Well, it's using Google's recording platform. And I think that this is the perfect marriage of technology and publishing platform. So in this case, the NFL is using Google's technology to record and also to play back. And it's going to be using YouTube to publish the content. So that means that anybody who just logs into YouTube or uses the app will be able to see a 360 version that's not quite full virtual reality.
Uh-huh.
But a lot more people will be able to see this content.
Do you think virtual reality content will be a common feature in sports broadcasting in the future?
This remains to be seen. It's hard to shoot in VR. It takes a lot of rapid compression and a lot of computer work on the back end to take all these shots and compile them into a 360 image. So I think it's still too early in the technology to turn that around quickly. That's why you're not going to see an entire game right now.
Sure.
Now, if anybody is going to get rabid about a new type of media consumption, it's probably sports fans. Sports fans will try to get any additional information or experience they can. So this is a great way to test VR. If those fans really go for the VR experience, then yes, I think that we will see a lot more of it. But it's still an experiment at this point.
There's another bonus to this, Lindsay, which is that, you know, sports fans who actually have these headsets today, once they get sick of their family members, they can just block them right out of the world.
True, and in reverse, the family members who get sick of hearing the TV on won't have to listen.
Oh, right.
It really is a less room-dominating way to experience sports.
That could be very positive. Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of CNET. Lindsay, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Thanks, Ben.
And since it's Thanksgiving today, you know we gotta talk some turkey tech. Penn State University has a PERC, as in Poultry Education and Research Center, where each building housing birds is computerized and environmentally controlled via tablet and smartphone. We could talk about artificial insemination and execution, but you're probably about to eat, so I will move on from there. I will say that the incubators that grow the turkey eggs collect a ton of data, with the goal of standardizing the growth of the young birds as much as possible. The lighting system is automated with a computer. Apparently, the lighting scheme helps to keep the turkeys calm, even though maybe they shouldn't be. According to the National Turkey Federation, which, yes, is a thing, Pennsylvania is one of the top 10 states that produces turkeys. So while you are gobble-gobbling, remember a whole lot of tech made that bird-to-table magic happen. We've got a whole new season of Codebreaker, where radio journalism meets the Twilight Zone. This season, we got one question in mind: can it save us? Subscribe right now on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. While we are talking about virtual reality today, worth noting that the latest episode of our new Codebreaker podcast is all about virtual reality and its impact on the world. Today, some deep thoughts on that from Chris Milk. He is the founder and CEO of Within, formerly Verse, a company that makes all kinds of virtual reality experiences. We caught up with him at the Wired Business Conference in New York recently. He thinks VR is going to be really big. And as he told me on this week's Codebreaker episode, it's going to give us something brand new. What?
A world that has the fidelity that it is indiscernible from our present world that we live in today.
Basically, alternate realities that are just as good as the real thing. Because of this, Chris says virtual reality is going to make it easier than ever to live the experiences of other people. People who have lives we will never have, in places we might never go. In a word, empathy.
The advancement of the technology behind virtual reality will lead to the democratization of human experience in the way that the internet led to the democratization of data and information. Right now, a kid in a remote village in a very foreign country that has a smartphone has access to more data than the president of the United States did 20 years ago, right?
Right. So Chris says, think about the same idea, but instead of just data and information on a web page, the kid can pop on a virtual reality headset and scroll through a massive catalog of VR experiences. And then Chris takes a leap further. He says that the ability to share a point of view through virtual reality is a new form of one of the most important and ancient inventions in human history, language.
Jaron Lanier, who's the godfather of virtual realities, talked about this concept in the 80s of post-symbolic communication. Right now, I want to communicate with you. I have to spew out all these words to make you hear them to understand what I'm talking about. We have an input-output. It works. But if I want to describe the dream that I had, and I said, oh, okay, so I had this dream, and I saw this lake, and then this train was coming, all these birds exploded out of the train, and there was ribbons, there was a baby in the sky. First of all, your eyes would glaze over, as usually does when someone starts describing their dream at length. But if we were to solve the output problem, and I'm not saying we're solving it anytime soon, but if we were to solve it, then you and I could communicate through a language that we've never had before.
Chris Milk there at the Wired Business Conference earlier this year. There is a secret code hidden in every one of our Codebreaker episodes, by the way. If you like solving puzzles, you can head to codebreaker.codes. But you can also just listen via iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Go get it. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.